From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. Today, a special report in our continuing coverage of the agreement reached between the P5 plus one nations and Iran over Iran's nuclear power program. Iran's Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif arrived Friday at Tehran's Mehrabad Airport to begin the job of selling the agreement to the people of his country. Zarif said that the final deal will mean the lifting of all sanctions on Iran.
According to international law, the U.S. administration will be required to lift the sanctions at once. If anybody is talking about the gradual easing of sanctions, they're at odds with what has been agreed to. It wouldn't be the first time the news media reports fiction instead of reality. I assure you that on the day the final agreement is passed by the United Nations Security Council, a new resolution will be issued that notifies all the sanctions. They will be notified, not suspended.
The political framework that was agreed to regarding the Iranian nuclear program was welcomed by UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. Derek Mbata has more.
It was announced on Thursday that the E3 plus 3 had reached an agreement with Iran on a political framework that paves the way for a comprehensive joint plan of action to be achieved by the 30th of June. In a statement issued after the announcement, the UN Secretary General congratulated the team of international negotiators and Iran for their agreement. He said the comprehensive agreement will provide for substantial limits on Iran's nuclear program and for the removal of all sanctions imposed on the country. The agreement will also respect Iran's needs and rights while providing assurances to the international community that its nuclear activities will remain exclusively peaceful, he added. The UN chief said he is convinced that a comprehensive, negotiated solution to the Iranian nuclear issue will contribute to peace and stability in the region and enable all countries to cooperate urgently to deal with the many serious security challenges they face. Derek Mbata, United Nations.
As the Western media covers the various contradictions in Washington over the interim deal, including between Republicans and Democrats, and over the negotiations generally, very little mention is given to differences that exist in the feelings among Iranians about it. Iran's President Hassan Rouhani also has to sell the agreement to his country, and he addressed his nation about the interim agreement Thursday. We now bring you that speech in its entirety with the official English language translation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of God, the merciful, the compassionate. Salutations to the Prophet of Islam and his household and his pure progeny. Salutations to the infallible Imams, peace be upon them.
Ayam bename Fatime Athar, salamullah alayha.
We are going through the occasion marking the martyrdom anniversary of Hazrat Fatima, peace be upon her, and next week we'll mark the birth anniversary of Hazrat Fatima, peace be upon her. Today is the day that will remain in the historical memory of the Iranian nation. And today is a day that, from my point of view, is a day of appreciation and gratitude to the great nation of Iran. The Iranian nation, through its resistance and steadfastness, took another step towards attaining the sublime national goals. I have to thank the Iranian nation. Since the people, in order to safeguard their end, the people resisted in order to safeguard their interests and national interests, and today they will remain resistant and steadfast, and in the future the people will tread this path. The government and this administration had offered some promises to the people, and we have always made efforts in order to fulfill those promises within the framework of our national interests. One promise was that the centrifuges have to spin, and at the same time, people's life should go on smoothly, and it will be valuable for us to see the centrifuges spinning, provided that the economy would also move forward. And today, we have got closer to that objective compared to the previous months, the previous weeks, and even compared to the past days. During the first 100 days of this administration, the government took the first step forward and reached an interim deal regarding the nuclear issue in negotiations with the 5+1 group. And since that time till today, we have been making efforts in order to take the second step. Efforts were made for several months, and I can particularly refer to the efforts made in the past few days, and last night we managed to reach our and attain our objective. We have managed to take that second step forward, and we have managed to protect our nuclear rights, and at the same time, we have taken steps for the lifting of sanctions, and at the same time, constructive interaction with the world. And this is of great significance for us. Based on the framework that we reached till last night, it means that with respect to the upcoming agreement, that will be the third step, and we hope that till June we'll be able to take that third step, and the third step will be the final agreement, and the fourth step that will be later taken will be achieved several weeks later, and that will be the implementation of the provisions of the final agreement. Based on the framework that we have attained till last night, the 5+1 has accepted enrichment by Iran on its soil. So what they said till yesterday in the past, they said that enrichment is a threat for the region. But today they have all accepted that enrichment on the Iranian soil is not a threat. And I explicitly wish to announce that enrichment and the whole nuclear technology, they are all aimed at the development of Iran. So this enrichment process and technology are not against any country of the region or the world. Today, the world has admitted that Iran is seeking its peaceful objectives within this framework. Iraq will be activated and based on a more modern technology. Speaking of Fordo, that some thought will be shut down, Fordo will remain open forever. And in Fordo, there will be more than 1,000 centrifuges installed, and there will be other activities, nuclear activities, and also activities in the field of physics. And within this framework, all the financial and sanctions, all the financial sanctions will be lifted on that day of the implementation of the agreement. Also sanctions related to the banking system. All the resolutions against Iran, that means the six resolutions against Iran, will be revoked and eliminated. And since and there will be new cooperation in the nuclear field and also in other sectors, so this will, in fact, open a new chapter in cooperation with the world. So within this framework that we have ahead of us, you see that the approach adopted by this administration has been effective. In today's world, threats by others are worthless, and pressures by others are worthless, and all of us should be after an agreement to the benefit of all the parties based on a win-win approach, mutual respect, common interests, and attaining common goals of all the parties. Some think that we should either fight with the world or we should give in to the powers. We believe there is a third option. There is a solution for this. We can cooperate with the world. Of course, they say that negotiations have been due to the pressure exerted by the sanctions. They know very well that such an approach is baseless, and their sanctions were not aimed at negotiating. They imposed sanctions in order to make us surrender. But when they realize that we will never surrender and that there is a united and steadfast nation, a courageous nation, then they said that sanctions were aimed at negotiations. But we were negotiating with the world prior to the sanctions, and we were negotiating in the course of the sanctions. So the approach by this administration was is that if others respect us and do not impose sanctions, they will actually receive the same respect from our side. And they have realized this fact today, that there should be respect in order to receive respect, and that sanctions and pressures are worthless. So this indicates the fact that the administration's approach has been a correct one. The second point is that the objective that we have achieved today, that has been due to our unity and solidarity. We have actually, we have consulted with all the officials and authorities, and we have always benefited from the guidelines of the leader of the Islamic Revolution, and he, the leader, has also generously provided us with his guidelines. I deem it necessary here to appreciate the leader and the heads of the three branches and all the officials who helped us in order to be able to take this step forward. And in the next step, we do need their support. And this is not just about the nuclear question. This is true about all the other issues regarding the country's affairs. We are in need of the guidelines by the leader and also the unity and solidarity and support by our nation. Of course, we should be thankful to God, an imam of the time, and the infallible imams and the prophet's progeny, particularly Hazrat Fatima, peace be upon her, and Hazrat Fatima and all the other infallible imams and imam of the time. They have always supported us. They have always been a source of support for us. We have chosen the right path. And today, our nation has shown to the world that in spite of pressures, the nation has put on display its massive turnout in the course of the presidential elections. And in addition to that, they have always put on display their unity and solidarity, enabling us to overcome the difficulties. I wish to seize this opportunity and inform the and mention some points. The first point is that in the course of the nuclear negotiations, whatever promise we have offered to the global community, we will fulfill our promises, and we are not after deception, we are not after hypocrisy if we have given any promise. Such a promise will be within the framework of our national interests. We will fulfill all the promises, provided that the other party would also fulfill its promises. Up to this point, and also in the future, with respect to the final agreement, the agreement will be a balanced one. If the other party fulfills its promises, Iran will also fulfill its promises. If someday they decide to choose a different path, we will also be able to choose other options. The second point is that our nuclear negotiations has been the first step for constructive interaction with the world. We are not just addressing the nuclear issue. It's not just a nuclear issue that we are after negotiating with the global community and that this issue will come to its end sometime. In fact, this is a first step in order to reach the highest point of constructive interaction with the global community. And in today's world, security and stability will not be achieved without cooperation. We seek cooperation and interaction with all world countries that are willing to do so, and the world countries that respect us, respect the Iranian nation, and countries that work with us on the basis of mutual respect. We do press their hands for friendship, and with all world countries that we enjoy cordial relations, we are after closer relations, and in case of strained relations with any particular country, we are after improving relations. And if we are actually have any sort of tension or even hostility with any nation, we are after, with any country, we are after putting an end to such hostility and tension, and interaction will be to the benefit of all. And the last point is that in order to eliminate hurdles in foreign relations, we have taken a step forward for eliminating the hurdles, and we should take new steps forward in all fields. The government is of the view that the impediments to business must be eliminated, and in fact, we welcome efforts by all the investors and the people. We are because we should take steps for creation of job opportunities for young people and improve business and also promote non-oil exports so that the people would actually witness improvement in the from the economic and spiritual point of view. I wish to appreciate the Iranian nation, and I wish to request the Iranian, the people, to actually promote unity in order to improve business and economic condition and also have sound political competitions. And we hope that hopefully we'll be able to hopefully this year will be better compared to the past year, and hopefully we'll be able to take steps for the prosperity of our nation and the progress of this nation. I also deem it necessary to appreciate all those who have been effective for taking this step forward, particularly the foreign minister and the nuclear negotiation team, the head of the country's Atomic Energy Organization and his accompanying delegation, the legal team, and all those who have made efforts, particularly in the past few days and in the past months since. I wish to appreciate them all. And I wish to personally appreciate them, and I appreciate them on behalf of the Iranian nation, and hopefully the support by the leader and the nation would be of great help to them in order to attain the final success.
Among those Iranians who have serious issues with the agreement are Ardashir and Eli Omani. He, a native-born Iranian who was an activist at the time of the 1979 revolution, and she, his American-born spouse, who holds dual citizenship in both Iran and the U.S. They are the founders of the American-Iranian Friendship Committee, formed in 2004 during the height of the propaganda war against Iran to help build a movement of Iranians and Americans seeking to promote peace, end the unjust sanctions which Iran suffered from, and prevent a U.S.-led NATO war on Iran. We spoke with Eli Omani by phone Friday.
The first point that we make is that this agreement is not in accord with the values of the 1979 revolution, which were to free Iran from the domination of the West, particularly the U.S. The goals of tens of thousands of Iranian patriots who sacrificed their lives during and years after the revolution, defending the path that Iran would forge its own destiny and not be dictated by U.S. imperialism, we're afraid that that is now in jeopardy. Why do we say this? The class in Iran that we think is going to benefit the most from this agreement is the merchant, or some of you may know, we refer to as the big commercial bourgeoisie, or in the traditional Marxist theory, it's the property-owning capitalist class, which is in conflict with the working class. In Iran, this is the class that's been privileged during the last century, and it's mostly been in the import-export sector of the economy. The big business interests have gained vast space in controlling all aspects of Iranian life, the economic, political, and social institutions, including the mainstream media. And we noticed that already they have labeled anyone criticizing the terms of this accord as being in opposition, and in the words of one person that was quoted, an enemy, quote, of Iran. It has already been written and said inside Iran that most of the Iranian people have been kept in dark and out of these discussions. But so many Iranians are desperate for some relief in their everyday lives, the high prices of commodities, the increasing debt that they are forced to take in order to, you know, withstand their lifestyle. They may be very disappointed at how long it will be before these odious sanctions are lifted and before their lives really improve. One thing that Ardashir understands much better than I do, but he pointed out to me that all the statistics over the last 75 years, and even years before that, especially including the Pahlavi dynasty, that is the Shah, showed that Iran has been suffering from a lack of economic vitality, inflation, high rates of unemployment, and corruption. 2 years ago, we were both visiting family in Iran, and during that time, the media and the parliament announced that several prominent and influential individuals in the banking system had siphoned off large amounts of the wealth of the nation, depositing money in foreign banks in Europe and the U.S. In speaking to some of the students studying economics, and that was actually in Tehran and also in Shiraz and in Isfahan, because those of you who know us know that we have family spread in different places throughout Iran. One of the things that we found out is that in the economic courses taught to the youth of Iran, simple concepts like competition, demand and supply, the same ones that are taught here, but they fully follow the Western capitalist neoliberal economics, the idea that privatization and a so-called free market is good for Iran, good for the Iranian people. But they say very little about the huge and growing gap between the rich and the poor in Iran. And that's a common characteristic of all capitalist economies. But that isn't what's pointed out or brought to the students. Now, those like my husband who have studied political economy and the literatures of progressive schools of economic thought have discussed the theme of what you call dependency of a country on one product and the vulnerability that comes with this, quote, one-sided development. Let me be more accurate. Let's note that those countries that have neglected development of the whole economy, and especially stands out those countries that have been dependent on oil and gas as one commodity, have historically done poorly in developing their economy and for the masses of people throughout their country. I don't like to use this word, but it is unfortunate. They have addicted the psychology of their own people that the only salvation is selling oil and gas on the international market, and particularly depending on the bigger economies, the imperialist countries, and that there's no other way. This theme gets repeated over and over in the Iranian media, which has unfortunately blamed all the ills of the poor economy on the sanctions, and they fail to admit that lack of attention to developing the whole industrial economy, they just don't point that out. They don't bring it up. And we have to point out here, the U.S. doesn't disagree with this because they're going to very happily see itself as powerful enough, and this is our fear, to regain a foothold inside Iran that it once had under the Shah. The U.S. and Britain have every intention, that's our understanding, of pulling Iran back from any alliance with the, I'm going to refer to this as the Russia-China-Asia axis, because as some of our listeners, your listeners may know, there is an effort on the part of China especially, but Russia is one of the countries that's going to play a big role in that because it's got such a big economy, and that is the AAIB, the Asian Investment Bank, that has a lot of the Republicans here scared and worried. But what the U.S. and Britain would be very delighted with, it would be if Iran would cut down an alliance or a friendship with that section, with that axis, the Russia-China-Asia axis, and with the more progressive Latin American governments, which under Ahmadinejad, he reached out very strongly and to Cuba, Venezuela, Brazil, Bolivia, etc. We hope the Iranian government is going to continue in its foreign policy in that positive direction, and that its intense desire to get rid of the sanctions won't move it in a more accommodating direction in the international arena and with its foreign policy.
Omani also made reference to a news account in the New York Times quoting a 26-year-old student from Tehran as tweeting, quote, "We will have just enough centrifuges left to make carrot juice," closed quote. Omani did have many positive things to say about the way Iran's government has been conducting foreign policy. And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.